welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 181. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic Under Syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with my friend and co-host,
Bam the Beaner.
What up, G? What's good?
Not much, man. Just chilling. Just came back from a game. Fucking 0-3.
0-3 and volleyball.
Volleyball boys. And, man, you know what? Who wants to fucking win? Nobody. Let's have fun out there, guys.
Yeah. You know who says that?
Fucking losers.
Yeah, dude.
God damn it, dude.
It's all right, man. Fucking a new squad, I guess, right?
New squad. You know, too many kids want to be superstars. And it's just like, shut the fuck up, dude.
You have what, like seven more games?
Yeah, seven more games, and we played good the first game, and then we lost the second game. No, we lost the first game.
And last week you had four kids.
Yeah, 23-25. We had six kids today, and then we lost 23-25, and then the second game killed us. I mean, I guess my kids gave up. But you know what? It's just like, fuck, man. Just get the fucking ball. Do you want to play patty cake back and forth and... You got to go 1-2-3 spike.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to start learning the fucking
practices. Yeah, just keep it on your side and then, yeah.
The guy sets it, but he set it for the other team, and the other guy just jumps up and...
Barely taps it.
Thanks, bro.
Idiot, yeah.
Right in your fucking head, dude.
I'm awesome.
Like, oh, man.
Well, that sucks, man.
The huddles are just fucking stupid.
Go Bundy.
Go
Bundy. I mean, not...
One kid kept getting spiked on, one of my captains. And these are hard balls to return. So the other guy's an eighth grader, and he's all like, "Whoa, can I switch with him?" And the guy's like, "Why? Because you think you can fucking do better?"
Idiot. Okay.
No, I mean yes.
That's exactly what you're telling me.
Everybody in the circle knows what you're saying. you think you could do better, and it's a no. You can't cross the fucking back to go to the front. God.
Oh man, dude. Well, that sucks. Sorry to hear, man. Did you do anything exciting this weekend?
No, I didn't do shit. I didn't do anything. You?
Worked my ass off, dude. Fucking Beauty and the Beast was a fucking bitch this weekend.
Oh, I heard, dude. I heard it was like...
Holy shit, dude. We were slammed worse than Rogue One, as bad as Star Wars
episodes. Well, everyone's taking their fucking brats.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I heard that people came in costumes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of girls dressed as fucking Belle.
Any Beast out there?
No.
Besides their mom? Oh.
Besides them, dude. Fuck me. I was busy, dude. It's been a while since I felt this burnt out.
Jesus.
I did a fucking mid-shift yesterday, so 12 to 8, and it was just an ass-kicker. Like, I didn't get to do anything. I closed fucking Saturday night, and I ended up watching the Belko Experiment. It's an interesting movie, dude. So James Gunn, the writer and director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Wrote this side movie, and the best way, in a nutshell, without spoiling anything, there's a building in Colombia, and it's this major company organization, and they lock down this building, like complete walls made of metal, windows, everything shackled up on the loudspeaker. All right, just letting you guys know, there are 60 of you guys in here right now, 70 of you guys in here. By the end of the day, we want 30 of you guys dead. You guys are free to choose which 30 are going to die.
Really?
We'll give you 2 hours to get started.
Jesus.
The first 2 hours pass by, no one decides to kill anyone. Comes again, dude. Okay, well, you guys didn't comply, so now we're going to take you guys out by our own means. So they start taking people out. So four people get taken out. I believe it was four. Anyways, so that's what antagonizes everyone to like, okay, now they're not joking around.
Business.
It's a great social experiment as far as it's your office, it's your coworkers, it's your quote unquote slash friends, slash your family to a certain degree, because you see your work coworkers more than you see your family. And when push comes to shove, like, would you be down to kill somebody, one of your coworkers?
Oh, fuck. So I'm going to stay out of this scenario. I'm staying out because I work with kids, so I'm not going
to
say anything.
You're all dead. Drop to you. I'm not saying elbow nothing. Drop to you, kid. Clothesline. It was a good movie. It's worth waiting for on DVD, honestly. Okay. I enjoyed it. I really did like it a lot. A lot of headshots. It was very gory. Wow. It was good. I guess the best way to describe it also on top of that would be it's kind of like a Purge-ish movie, I guess, which wasn't bad, dude. So it was cool. I like it. I would recommend it. But again, if you're... I would say wait for it DVD.
I did catch up, or I did start watching Iron Fist. I watched a lot of Iron Fist.
Do you think it's as bad as everyone else says it is?
Really? People are saying it's bad.
Yeah,
everyone. I thought this was the best Netflix Marvel movie.
No shit.
The story itself, I like. The Daredevil, okay, you're a fucking lawyer. You're okay, you have fucking Froggy. You got this chick. It's getting fucking boring. Jessica Jones was good, but it's like, kill the motherfucker. Wear some goddamn headphone. Wear some Beats where you can buy on Amazon for very cheap.
Idiot. There you go.
And
just buy. Go to the comicsyndicate.com and click on the Amazon banner.
Ding. And just fucking do that. And it just felt I didn't want to. It took me longer to finish that.
Okay.
And then the next one.
Luke Cage.
I liked it.
I didn't watch Luke Cage, actually. I barely saw Daredevil season 2.
It was good, but this story I want. It's more lighter.
Okay.
Like not just dark.
Yeah, like Daredevil was pretty dark. I mean, they had their day scenes, but like it was dark. I mean,
he has a mission and he's come back. He's kind of like fucking Allie.
Okay.
From Arrow.
Okay. Yeah.
So same kind of deal.
Yeah.
And I like it. The moves.
Man.
Maybe they were complaining about the. Maybe the kung fu moves?
I think it was that, and Homeboy, I heard, was not charismatic to the role as Danny Rand, and I don't know, I've heard so many bad things from just everywhere. And then our buddy Seek Donnelly, from Awesome Comics, he does a YouTube video, or YouTube footage, and he didn't like it, even posted on Facebook.
He really doesn't like anything. But anyways, I enjoyed it. The fighting scenes you do have to get used to.
Yeah.
When I first saw him, I'm like, it kind of looks weird.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't look natural.
Okay.
It looks weird. And you get used to him and the story, the characters. I thought it was great. I'm still watching. I'm on episode 7.
Okay.
So, I liked it.
That puts you in the 1 percentile.
Hey.
Or probably less than that 0.1 percentile.
No.
I swear, dude. Anyways, all right, man. That's all I did. Wow. I'm glad you liked it, dude. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm probably going to like it. Hopefully, I do. I love Danny Rand anyways. All right, man. Do you want to know what we spoke about 100 episodes ago?
Go for it.
Okay, episode 81, we named hashtag Fanny Pack. We hit Twitter to love shoutouts, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We hit what the fuck news. Naked woman stops traffic to masturbate in front of car.
Nice.
I remember that. Woman allegedly sets husband, then herself, on fire after discovering girlfriend. If I can't have you, nobody can. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Woman dies after accidentally shooting herself with gun and bra holster. Love it.
I remember that one.
What newly single men should never wear on a date, according to women.
Okay.
Fanny pack, probably.
Oh, yeah, I think it was the fanny pack on that one.
And hashtag Down syndrome shoes.
Oh, my shoes.
I mean, that was a great episode, dude.
I love those Even, shoes.
I think Nightwing in it could be one of the top tier episodes we've done where people were like, shit, that was
a funny one. Go back and listen to that one, guys.
Yeah, go back to Red Rocket Orgy. Go back to Down Syndrome Shoes. I love fucking My D and Your V Date Casually.
Oh, yes.
And there's another one I love. Midget Lover was good, but there's another one. Your story was a Disney Duck Assault. This is a great one. Love that, dude. All right, man. So this week we're going to have Instagram messages. And a new thing we did last week was we did some pre-recording on Snapchat.
Yes.
Okay, one of my buddies, Mikey, right now, just hit us up. He says, off of what we just recorded right now, he says, wouldn't it be better or easier to Instagram live it?
Would it be easier?
That
way it doesn't disappear?
Well, okay. We're going to go into that right now because we're going to talk about a few things. We got a lot of hit-ups on Snapchat, which was kind of cool.
Sweet.
Jester, who's our boy anyways, cool cat, says, Snapchat Live, that's new, looking professional. That's awesome. I respond, dude, we just want to try something new. And he said, I like it. Do you all need a photographer? LOL, I charge 2-3 beers maybe.
Oh, okay. You got to deal that with Joe.
Now, which would be cool. Now, technically, we can't record ourselves because I don't want a stationary setup with my phone or the recording device somewhere. It's too hard. We have so many moving parts going throughout the podcast.
It's only two of us in this room.
Yeah. So if we had somebody, a third person, we don't even have a mic for the third person, but that means the third person would have to be stationary and just record us fucking live, literally. Because, again, I can't hold my phone up throughout the whole fucking pod.
We would have to post it up somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mikey, I fucking saw Mikey, and his message last week was, Shout out these nuts. Last week, you know, people were leaving messages. So Johnny hit us up, Mikey hit us up right now off of what we just recorded.
Nice.
My homegirl Myra hits us up. Even he doesn't want to hang out with you.
Ooh.
Meaning you.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was mad. He's here.
Yeah, dude. And you
out front.
That first face you made, though.
I was such in a bad mood.
So thanks a lot, Myra. Dick. We got hit up on Snapchat, dude, by Peanutty Goodness. She said, your Darkwing Duck story was amazing, and you're an asshole for it. Ha ha. She says, it was heroic, but if I went hours without a drink, I'd be crazy mad.
Right. Well, just go get yourself a fucking drink. It's 2017. No shit. Buy me a goddamn drink.
Women's empowerment. There you go. So thanks a lot, dude. Peanutty Goodness, dude. You're a sweetheart. I didn't know she listened to the podcast, dude.
Nice.
People follow me. And so that was great, dude. So I totally appreciate that. And thanks for jumping on board. Instagram, we got Sergio with all the fancy equipment that my Amazon bucks are buying you guys. You'd think Adam would do a sound check here and there.
The fucking Come on, Adam, critic get it, of all critics. This guy.
When it comes down to the sound, though, I kind of back him up, dude. Like, I kind of back him up 100%.
Well, you can come down and do the fucking music and shit, and I'll just talk.
There you go, dude. Or do that and record us, I guess.
He lives fucking in
Tijuana. So it has to be Jester, Jesus. Probably. Next one's going to be on, I believe this was on Instagram. Van Exel Forever says, WonderCon is coming. Hashtag Zombie Outlaw. Hashtag Comic Syndicate. And I asked him, hey, dude, you guys are just going to be at Comic Syndicate. At Comic Con this year, WonderCon. He's like, yeah, dude, we're going to be out there in full force.
Nice.
So he's going to be out there, dude. Speaking of WonderCon, dude, guys, if any of you guys want a paleta right now.
Yeah, you
want
to buy an ice cream? This guy. Funny story.
No, continue, please.
This fucking neighbor, I guess last week, sent his kid out with like no cash. And the kid said, oh, you come tomorrow and I'll fucking pay you the fucking $2 or whatever, right? Okay. And fucking, he didn't pay. So the guy fucking went around the block. I swear to God, 10 times, right? Stops at the neighbor's and then nobody. And then he fucking goes back around, stops, fucking yells something, goes around. He went around like fucking 9 times, dude, waiting for his $2.
He's a paleta, dude.
Dude, like, you don't do IOUs in San Antonio.
Oh, don't get me wrong, dude.
Because you'll never get it.
I'm saying, I know, man. Okay, so on the talk of WonderCon.
Yes.
So Zombie Outlaw, that's Brian Apodaca. We've interviewed him before. Way cool cat. He sent us his work. We have reviewed his work before.
Yeah.
We're apparently going to have work this. WonderCon is March 31st, April 1st, and 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
We got a bunch of emails this morning.
Right.
And I was sending you to them as soon as I got them. Now, I sent you an email for a press room meet and greet and interview side media thing for The Goldbergs and Imaginary Mary TV shows. I hear The Goldbergs is a good show. I don't watch TV.
I don't watch it either. And if I don't watch it, I don't know.
Okay, man. Exactly.
Those I watch a lot of TV.
Those are the ones that are normally like, I don't watch TV, so what am I going to talk about? Like, I might know you or have seen you in another movie.
Right.
But I don't watch
TV. We got to figure out if that time slot is something we want to
record. We could fill in. Okay, there you go.
And it's Friday.
Now, we also got one for the DC movies. DC is going to put out, first looks at Wonder Woman, first looks of just Justice League, which we can probably get in the media section for that too,
mm-hmm.
which would be cool.
Sweet.
The last one we got right before I left work was we got one from, Mr. Robot, Legion, and Walking Dead. They're going to have another fucking panel. And they want us to jump in on that one. And the last one we got that was a cool one was, oh my God, it was a good one. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, they invited us to something?
Yeah. Sweet. So, and it's like the press section. And kind of like when we went to the Star Wars convention, how they let us watch for Star Wars Rebel, but then they actually took us to another side room where we were able to fucking talk to these cats. So that's the one I want to do because I've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at least.
Hopefully they're on Fridays.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I got for fucking shout-outs, dude. Thanks, everyone, who hit us up on Instagram. We totally appreciate it. Snapchat, I believe. Whatever.
Sweet, sweet.
I don't know. They're all fucking the same thing. All right, man. That's all I got, dude. Next one's going to be, do you want to hit fucking what the fuck news?
Sweet, sweet.
All right, man. Ex-judge admits illegally seeking wife's text for beer. It'll make sense right now. Okay. Raleigh, North Carolina. Former North Carolina trial judge says he illegally offered a law enforcement officer beer and money to produce text messages he believed would show his wife was having an affair. Jesus. Former State Superior Court Judge Arnold Ogden Jones pleaded guilty Thursday to a federal charge of promising gratuities to a public official.
I see.
He's a fucking judge.
He wants the text so he can get a better settlement. Like, she's cheating on me.
He assumes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that he was so shady he couldn't have hired a
prostitute?
Or a private investigator?
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah.
Or even a prostitute. Fuck it.
Because he wanted the person that caught him to write.
Well, he didn't do anything. He was assuming, quote unquote, his wife was cheating on him. So he apparently, you know, judges, they see so many cops. He's like, hey, dude, you mind if I buy you a 12-pack to find some text messages on my wife that she's sending to her Sancho
type of deal? Dude, that's a judge. That's a party foul, dude.
Oh, on the judge's part? Because he's a fucking judge?
Well, what do you do? Say you're a fucking new cop on the block, right?
Yeah. I mean, and we don't know the cop story either, dude.
The fucking judge. You don't want to go get the judge.
Yeah, exactly, dude. All right, man. Next one's going to be, this one came out. 319, dude. Australian teenager mauled after jumping into crocodile-infested river for a dare.
I thought it was seals.
You know what? These are the ones that kind of make me feel, you know what? Darwinism.
Why do you do that?
Okay. An 18-year-old Australian youth is recovering after being mauled by a crocodile after jumping into a river for a bet. Lee D. Powell was apparently boasting about how he could swim in the dangerous waters in Johnston River, North Queensland at around 2:30 a.m. on Saturday. A saltwater crocodile known as an Estuarian crocodile or a salty managed to grab his arm, but DePaul managed to punch it and get away. He lucked out, dude.
Crocodile.
Yeah.
Dundee.
I kind of wanted the crocodile to maul him.
Well, dude, he punched him in the face.
True, but gouge his eyes. I mean, even a shark, you kind of would go for that too. Reports from the scene are he was dared to jump into the water, which he did, and unfortunately, the area is well known for its crocodile population. So first of all, dumb. Local paramedic Neil Noble told Nine News, "We're just very grateful that he survived this incident because it could have been turned out to be quite fatal."
Buy that guy a beer, dude.
Kind of, you know what? Yeah,
because he said what he was gonna do.
But you're stupid too.
He did what he did. He said, "I'm gonna go in there."
True that.
Okay, I'm gonna fuck that crocodile up.
Idiot.
Punch, punch, punch. Oh my god, swim.
Okay, now fortunately for DePaul, the salty he encountered was only 4 feet long. So that's a fucking small fucker. I'm four feet long.
It's a fucking baby. It's like me fighting a TK. TKs are about 4 feet they're about 3 feet.
TKs? No, TKs are like 2 feet.
2 feet? So maybe a second grader.
Fourth grader?
Maybe fourth.
I never started growing, so I don't know.
My school's fucking giants.
We're just short.
I don't know my measuring system, man.
All right, man. We haven't hit sex facts in a while. Yeah, let's hit some fucking sex facts, dude. Let's do this one. We'll start off with this one, dude. Engineer creates sex robot that needs to be romanced first.
Jesus.
This one pissed me off. First of all, I don't have enough time to romance myself.
I want a robot that I have to take out. I have to listen to. God, I have to buy flowers for
it. Oh, fuck that,
what
dude.
What the fuck?
I know, dude. Worst
take your pants off and let's do this because this is why you're here.
Pretty much, right?
It's like romancing a prostitute.
Yeah, kind of. But you don't have to romance a prostitute.
What the fuck? Or you just buy a cheeseburger.
There you go. That's about it.
Word on the street.
Or 40. There you go. I think that's all I got for fucking that one, dude. And we can jump in there. It's
dude.
Okay, again. Oh, you know what? Fuck the article, dude. It's a longer article. Seriously, technically, dude. I don't have time to romance my fucking self, let alone a fucking fake woman, let alone an actual real woman.
It was a robot, right?
It's a sex doll.
Sex doll. What the fuck? Yeah. So what does it do? It doesn't open its legs until you pull out the money?
That's the only part I want. Idiot, till you bust out the money. I know, right, dude? So you make it rain. So it has sensors on different parts of it, and you have to be nice and gentle with it. And
so bad.
As the video demonstrates, Samantha responds when he touches her hands and hips by saying positive statements like, I love this, and nice and gentle. Lame. I can just
say it like this. You're lovely. You're beautiful. If you're not looking at me, I'm putting my fingers like for the wider. Legs. Wider and wider and wider.
Yeah, dude. Okay, wow. Man. So that's fuck it. That's it. No, it's going for $5,000. And anything sex related toys, I don't think are worth that much.
Anything under 100, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly, dude. There you go. Why men might underestimate women's sex drive. Okay. CNN came out, dude. Most men may be missing the mark when it comes to gauging women's women's interest in sex. All right, psychologists have long known that when they first meet, men tend to overestimate how sexually interested a woman may be. Mm-hmm. Once two adults are in an established relationship, however, men tend to underestimate their partner's sexual interests, according to new research published last month in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Feel free to jump in anytime.
So, you when you first meet, you want to bang them, and then after you bang them, you're like,
No, I guess it's saying when you meet a woman, once you get to know them, you have sex with them, and like, even though you kind of when you have sex a few times, it's like, fuck, for me personally, if you have sex, I want more of it.
Okay.
And I work so much, hence I need a sex robot that's not going to fucking make me work for it.
I get to see yours legs closed all night, homie. No, they're not opening up.
I need a sex robot that can grab me a beer then and blow me, maybe. That would be cool. It's saying pretty much, though, that we don't understand how much women want sex as much as well.
Okay.
Now, do you agree with that off the top of your head? Like,
because you don't want to,
I guess, it's generalizing.
Engage anymore because you've already done it so many times.
I kind of see it too as like, okay, once you get married, the sex dies. That they say that.
Right.
Now, I'm not married. I'm never going to get married. But
sometimes this is work and busy. And
life. Exactly. Which that's why. I don't know. Okay, well, let's continue with the article, dude, and we'll see what we can find, dude. And there's a reason for the drastic shift in perception, said Amy Muse, a postdoctoral relationship researcher at the University of Toronto and the lead author of the research. Our findings suggest that underperception might keep men motivated to entice their partner's interest, and it may also minimize sexual rejection, which would help maintain the quality of the relationship, Muse said. The findings are surprising in the sense that it's the opposite bias that men tend to show in initial encounters, but we did expect that these biases would differ in established relationships, she added. Okay. It makes sense, since the goal in initial encounters might be to attract a partner, so over-perceiving their interest can help men feel more comfortable initiating a conversation or date, but the goal in a relationship is to maintain the relationship. So there you go.
You're trying harder in the beginning.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, okay, you can't... Okay, yeah, you want to keep the woman interested, so...
To get in.
Yeah.
And then once you're in, you're like...
But you can't be like, hey, you know what? I've had a long fucking day. I work a lot. Do you just want to fuck? Like, I need a stress reliever would be nice.
Legs closed.
You know? Yeah. So, especially when you're dating someone, I mean, yeah, it's good to go out with people and fucking hang out with them. So keep that going. But once you have sex, it's like any relationship, dude, it's not like, even if your sex drive might be high, how do you tell your partner or friend like, hey, dude, I just like to, just like having sex. I mean,
communication? I don't know.
Well, there you go. That's a huge part of it too, dude. In the second study, members of 84 couples were interviewed separately in a lab about their sex drive, how satisfied, there you go, they were in their relationship and what they thought of their partner's sex drive. The third study involved 101 couples who completed a 5 to 10 minute survey each day for 3 weeks, in which they answered questions about their own sex drive and why they either felt motivated to pursue sex with their partner or not. Okay, so that's exactly what I was saying. It turned out that men's underperception of their partner's interest in sex was associated with their partner feeling more satisfied and committed to the relationship. Okay. Additionally, the researchers saw no consistent over or underperception bias in women. Join the conversation. Okay. See the latest news and
shirts. Confused.
Okay. So they took a survey with 84 couples who were interviewed separately about their sex drive. So how often do you like to have sex? How much do you enjoy sex on a scale of 1 to 10? That was one study. Second study was 84 couples interviewed separately. The other one was 101 couples who completed a 5 to 10 minute survey for 3 weeks, in which they answered questions about their own sex drive and why either felt motivated. So for those 3 weeks, they were asking them, like, what's motivating you to want to have sex?
Okay.
Dude, I fucking work a lot. I'm fucking slammed, like...
So that's motivating you to have sex by working?
No, okay, well, any interaction with a woman? Like, for me? Like, shit. Hi, Josias, sure, I want to fuck. That's not what I'm asking.
Josias, your fucking pants, your dick's out.
You know? Yeah.
Well, you said hello, bitch.
I know, right? Are you just gonna look at it? think I just pulled it out to air it out? Like, you know, I mean, that's a joke. But, I mean, for me, but then again, I have a high sexual drive anyways.
So. Yes, you do.
So when I do have a girlfriend, like, it's like, I'm going to rip you apart as much as I can. I mean, that's it for me. Now, these couples, though, are just couples. So, like, how much are you craving your partner? I mean, couples crave their partners. But when women were higher in desire or on days when they were motivated to avoid rejection, so women, that's they don't want to initiate it because they don't want to be rejected. Women, you are not going to get rejected straight up. Just, like, if you want sex, let your boyfriend, your husband know, your Sancho, whoever know, we're not going to say fucking no to you.
Well, I guess some of the women don't want – they want to be just like that fucking robot doll. You have to – they want to be romance.
That's
they
my
want,
new girlfriend.
I hope you named her. they want to be romance. They want to go out.
Exactly. And
they want to you to engage.
Exactly. So, and that helps out the relationship, though. Now,
yes.
Now, I'm a weird case because that's why it's an interesting article, in my opinion, because how about a dude that fucking doesn't have enough time for himself, though? Like, how
flings, bro.
How does anybody get in a relationship with fucking someone like me?
They probably don't have a relationship. They just they're probably you need to find someone that works a lot too and just wants to fuck.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
work a lot. You work a lot, and on your fucking lunch, on your smoke break, meet in the car.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
a quickie blowjob.
So pretty much that's where I'm coming from. So it's an interesting article on that point. The samples of same-sex couples in the study were too small to make a difference in the results.
They need more people?
They interviewed lesbians and gays. And they noted, we conducted the analysis with and without the same-sex couples, and the pattern of results remained the same.
Huh.
Okay. So even gay couples, the person who normally initiates. Now, do you initiate or does your lady initiate?
She does.
Damn, she wrecks you, huh?
Yeah, she's
and a little, you're the one who turns her down.
You're
the girl in the relationship.
I'm the one. I don't feel good.
I have a headache.
My stomach hurts. You know, it's,
you are, dude.
I am.
Oh,
my goodness. I am the other.
I knew it.
I'm doing my hair.
Oh, my idiot.
I'm on my period.
Okay, I'm on my that's gonna be bad. That's okay. No, the last one's gonna be people's behaviors are a function of their judgments and perception. That is, they tend to react to their partners based on their perception of their relationships. There you go. She said, for example, if they perceive their partners as satisfied, they tend to behave more positively, thus to have the most complete understanding of relationships.
Well, yeah.
It is important to understand the source and function of intimate perception. Well, yeah.
I mean, what the
fuck? Pay attention to your partner anyway.
If she's not, like, linebacker face,
linebacker face it is.
If you're not doing something right and she gives you the look and...
linebacker
face. And then you get tired and you didn't satisfy her.
True.
What are you going to do, fucking jumping jacks, high fives?
Okay, true that, but like, okay.
You're not going to do high fives. You're going to be pissed off.
True. But yeah. How about if the woman does it? Like, I love when the woman initiates, though, too.
Well, guys always get...
shot down?
Get off anytime, anywhere.
True that.
Girls are a lot harder to get off.
Oh, yeah, true. But again, like, just in general, women who initiate, like, I miss your touch. I miss...
She always says that to me.
Idiot.
See, what you're saying right now is what she says.
Idiot. Well,
why don't you kiss me? Give me a hug. And I'm like, get away
okay,
from me.
Okay, I don't need the hugging or the
this is why kissing about, necessary. This is why you bought a king-size bed. This is your side, this is my
it's
side.
It's either king-size bed or linebacker face.
Dude, if you want a lot of sex, get a small bed. Because you have to
have contact. That's
you
not
have
even
to get
true
contact
either,
all the time, bro.
I'm not a cuddler, though. I don't mind hugging.
Yeah, but that's the couple thing. You have to cuddle.
Oh, just get all hung.
I know. I go 30 seconds.
I can do kissing.
30 seconds and part.
You and I are kind of the same on that.
Yes, I it's too hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
And it's just like, nah. No, if it's
you
cold,
what,
if it's cold and rainy night, go for it.
She's a night person. I'm a morning person. So nighttime, I'm sleep. I want to sleep.
You're not a night. You are a night person.
No, I'm a morning. And then she likes to sleep. So in the morning, I try to cuddle, and it's fucking linebacker face.
Okay, there you go. Get the fuck off me.
Awesome. She's gonna kill me. But anyways,
on that note, I hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
And then at nighttime, I'm like, I'm tired. We have to get up.
Leave me alone.
It's a school night.
Idiot. At 6 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Oh, man, dude. All right.
Anyways. Commercials. I'm already in enough trouble.
Note.
Go to our...
What'd you do before commercials?
What?
What'd you do? You said you're already in trouble.
No, what I've just fucking said. Oh, for that? Dude, all Jesus. Right, dude.
Commercials. You guys can go to comicsyndicate.com, hit our Amazon banner.
Yeah, so you'll see an orange and a black one. The orange one, you go and click on it. Go ahead and bookmark it so you don't have to keep going back and forth. You might forget and whatever. Whatever you buy, we get a little piece of it, and it helps us out with equipment and cons and great stuff like that. If you're buying a lot of stuff on Amazon, you might as well get the Prime because you get free shipping, sometimes even one-day shipping. It's really awesome.
Which is dope, dude. Comes in handy, man.
Yes, so you get free books, free movies, free videos, all that good shit. And if you don't like it, you cancel it because they will charge you. And if you don't want to pay the whole fucking year, they do have a monthly plan where you pay like, I think it's like $9.99 a month. And you can cancel anytime the fuck you want. So it's a good deal.
All right, guys. Thank you for everyone that has jumped on. We totally appreciate it. You guys have helped us out a lot. And Sergio, thank you, man. Sergio purchases a lot, dude.
Yeah, he does.
Which not everything carries over that.
No, I mean, he thinks that we're like fucking millionaires. We do appreciate it, though, but...
yeah, I mean, some of the things you buy are eligible for us. That's pretty much what it is, dude. All right, guys, I'm working on episode 200 for us. It's literally 20 episodes away, 19 now, which if 20 episodes equals fucking 5 months.
Five months?
Yeah. Technically, because there's 4 weeks in a month. We record each month, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is 20.
Yeah.
So 5 more months. It's a lot of work.
Sweet, sweet.
We're going to get Pablo's on board. Albert's on board. David's on board.
Sweet.
Sergio's on board, of course, dude. We're going to have a bunch of people. Sadie's on board, too. I hit him up on Twitter, and everyone was fucking jazzed. Like, they were ready, like, fuck yeah, let's do it right now. It's like, we got like 20 episodes to go.
We got 20, and then we got to set up. We got to set up everything.
Yeah, and Sergio did mention, though, he can take us to his office and we can fucking get everyone there, dude.
Sweet, so, sweet.
A good crowd, and I think we can fucking rock and roll, man. All right, guys, thanks for listening. You guys can go to comicsyndicate.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you guys can, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. More than anything, you know what? Like it and share it, dude. Leave a fucking rating. Review
stars, comments, please.
It helps out, dude. We're not like every other podcast that please do it. Now, you know what?
Please,
fuck it.
Fucking 5 stars.
If anything, dude. Yeah, exactly, dude. If anything, dude, fucking just share the fucking podcast. Give it to someone that you know we will laugh over some stupid bullshit. Some guy who doesn't have sex in his marriage and, you know, let us know what we think about sex talks. Are they talking about me, dude? Someone who doesn't mind somebody getting eaten by an alligator because that's what he fucking deserves. Just fucking share the podcast. We'll be right back with
Comic Talk.
Scott Snyder, I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk. Okay, we're back.
Comic Talk.
Yes. Everything. We're ready to rock and roll.
Am I muted?
No, you're not, because I can fucking hear you.
Okay.
There's a lot of buttons on this fucking thing.
Yeah, dude. So, okay, man. Comic news, dude. We can hit real quick, dude. We have Spider-Man Homecoming reshoots officially underway.
Sweet.
Which isn't a bad thing, because they reshot a few scenes for Star Wars Rogue One, and it was a great fucking movie.
It was, dude.
Minus that broad, like, who annoyed the fuck out of me because she was a fucking complaining bitch. Okay.
She saved the fucking universe, bro.
Still on Sony. Sony, Venom film is a go, gets 2018 release date.
Who's doing it? Fox?
Sony's Venom will swing into theaters late next year with a little help from longtime Spider-Man producers Avi Arad and Mac Tomac. So they were the guys who did the original one. It's not confirmed if Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel Studios.
It's going to suck.
If they don't get their help, yes.
The director that's doing this did the first Spider-Man?
Yep.
The very, very, very first one?
No.
Or the first one with
the Andrew Garfield one. The Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
I don't know what to think about.
I don't know.
I know. All right. This one, DC, we have a lot of fucking news, dude. Sweet. Batman film unlikely to begin filming before 2018.
Before 2018. Okay.
Yep, that's one. Sweet. Aquaman release date moved back.
Good.
The release date for James Wan's Aquaman film has been pushed back by 2 months. Because of these two news, report Warner Brothers wants to shoot another DC film this year. It's all caps. Like,
They haven't even started production of Aquaman?
Nope.
So it's pushed back 2 months to put in another movie in between.
Yeah, yeah. So they're probably going to stuff in The Rock, Shazam, or fucking Black Adam.
Cyborg?
I don't know. They don't even have fucking The Flash going yet.
I don't know what this. Stop me. You know, the longer DC runs, the more shit they fuck up.
Affleck's Batman film will reportedly be rewritten from the ground up.
Yes. Yes.
Him and Jeff Johns were writing the script. That didn't happen. Somebody started writing a new script, and they scrapped fucking those scripts. So we're never going to read Ben Affleck's and Jeff Johns' script.
Boo.
Not going to see the light of day. John Manganiello isn't so sure he's still Deathstroke in Batman. Because there's always news. Poor DC, dude.
He doesn't have a job. Poor guy.
Matthew Vaughn in talks to direct Man of Steel 2.
Yes.
He's the one who did Kick-Ass.
No.
Kick-Ass was a darker movie.
No.
Like, Superman needs to be any darker?
Dude, Man of Steel was the best movie.
It was
movie.
The worst fucking DC movie we've seen, dude. And a Matrix reboot is in the works, and the Fly remake reboot. I like the Fly. I would rather see the Fly over the Matrix.
I don't like both of those movies.
The Fly is the shit. Jeff Goldblum.
Back then, I was a little kid. I was a little fucking kid. I didn't like the when he comes out, it just looked gross.
It looks gnarly, yeah.
Nightmares. No, thanks. But that's good for you.
You're right. You are a little bitch.
I would say a very sensitive soul.
Idiot. I like that. We can call it sensitive soul, too. All right, man. Next one we're going to have is comic news. Dude. Emma Frost's X-Men battle Captain America's Secret Empire.
Okay.
That's going to happen soon.
Damn, Emma Frost is going crazy.
This one's
crazy.
Really cool. Remastered Jim Lee art to grace X-Men blue and gold variant covers. So in the 90s, Jim Lee was the artist working for Marvel. He's the editor now at DC Comics.
DC Comics.
And he used to be the artist for Marvel drawing. And his art is amazing. So the old classic ones he did in the 90s, they're going to fucking be variant covers.
I wonder if he gets paid for that.
I don't know. Probably not. Because Marvel technically was fucking people back then.
Marvel's very good at the contracts.
Yeah. So next one, Disney's Star Wars Land Attraction will feature full-size AT-AT AT-ATs.
Okay.
So there's a video out on, you know, what they're doing for the Disneyland fucking theme park. It just looks fucking dope, dude. That was
sweet.
Fucking next one's going to be new DC Universe event starts with Dark Days from Snyder, Lee, and more. Okay. Writers and frequent collaborators Scott Snyder and James Tynion IV have joined forces with superstars artist Jim Lee, who we were just talking about, Andy Kubert and John Romita Jr. for 2 Dark Days one-shots. Dark Days of the Forge, scheduled for release on June 14th, and Dark Days the Casting, set for July 12th. The stories are said to explore a mystery that will reveal the dark underbelly of the DC Universe. And it looks like it's Batman said.
You know, they put Snyder and that dude's name on it, and it's the dude writing the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
It really pisses me off.
And they also mentioned at the end of the article how this is the event maybe that Snyder was hinting at that him and Capullo have been working on.
And they got Jim Lee to do it?
Jim Lee's going to do a few titles, dude. But Capullo and Snyder back again? I'm loving All-Star Batman.
I'm loving Batman Tom King right now.
I'm ready. Okay, now I'm starting to love Fate. Oh, right? Speaking of, man, go for it, dude. Fucking start off wherever you want, dude.
Cool. So I caught up with Batman. I did 17, 18, and 19. And I'll just go right through them.
I read 16 through 19 as well, dude.
Sweet, sweet. Jump in if you like. The way I'm going to do with the flashbacks, I'm going to do the first part and then do the flashbacks.
Okay, let me jump in real quick.
Go for it. 17.
Sorry to interrupt. Okay. Just to set up this, dude. Start off with Gotham Girl and Gotham Guy.
Yes.
They were under the spell of Psycho Pirate.
Do you is he a known character or is he made up?
Like? He's like a fucking CD character.
Okay.
But the way they're integrating these BC characters to fucking become A fucking villains is kind of cool. So anyways, he's the one behind it. Now, the first arc I hated. I love Tom King.
You hated it.
And though. I love Batman. I hated the arc.
I loved it.
Okay. After that, Batman realizes, like, fuck. Okay, now we need to, figures it out. And the first arc, and again, I did not like. Second arc picked up fucking so much was, okay, who has Psycho Pirate? Fuck, Bane has Psycho
Pirate.
Second arc was him going to fucking Bane's home and literally walking in, kicking the doors down
and
with a team of villains.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Batman put this team together, the contingency plans he has was dope. So they were able to break or bust out Psycho Pirate and bring him back to Gotham.
To Arkham.
To save Gotham Girl, yes. And keep him in Gotham. Now, this new arc that we're going to talk about right now is pretty much from now, I am Bane. Mm-hmm. That arc, which is now Bane's pissed off because at the end of that one, Batman kept saying, I'm going to break your back. Getting his ass kicked the whole time.
Always.
Getting his ass kicked. And his plan worked perfect. And it ended with, now, this arc is Bane. I'm going to fucking kick his fucking ass. Because Bane was not amped up to his Venom drugs.
He got off
of steroids.
It. Yeah.
So now he's extra pissed. By the end of that arc, he went back to his Venom, which is literally steroids.
Yes.
Crazier than steroids. And he goes nuts. I'm going to go to Gotham and I'm going to fuck up Batman. Started up. And that
so
was the lead.
So it's like... So good. Okay, so we get in 17, we get a random shooting starting the issue off with a famous, was that a famous quarterback? Remember they started about the Gotham QB or whatever. It really had nothing to do with
it. No, it wasn't.
So anyways, we find Batman inside Superman's HQ, his headquarters, his home of solitude or whatever. And I do like how Superman needs to pick up this key to get in. And Batman's already inside waiting.
That's awesome. Okay, that's
nice touch,
great.
Tom King.
Yeah.
Very nice. It's like, really, dude?
Like, how'd you get into fucking my fortress of solitude?
And he's like, how bad is it? It's fucking bad.
Yeah.
So Batman has taken his boys and froze them and has asked Superman to keep them safe for the next 4 days while Batman goes after Bane.
Or prepares for Bane.
Prepares for Bane. Yeah. Alfred has... put on this mask to get into Arkham to take Gotham Girl into Arkham to have some therapy
with the Psycho Pirate, which is now
maybe to counter
pretty much get her out of her the spell of what she's
but needs to be in isolated for 4 days with him. They start with the pirate Bane by giving him he's like, give me my mask back, and at gunpoint he starts fixing Gotham Girl. Some Hawkeye, Bane's crew, I want to say, he's like a hawk dude.
Yeah.
Guy shoots Catwoman out of nowhere, and now is after Gordon, and Duke shows up.
So very cool, though, because, okay, you had mentioned your last time you reviewed this one, is Batman or Bruce meets up with his Bat family, Dick Grayson.
Yeah, at the McDonald's.
Yeah. And
it was funny, dude.
And he told each of them, get the fuck out of here. Like, leave Gotham.
Just, he should have already known they were going to fucking leave.
Yeah,
bro.
But it's weird, but it's cool that he gave him the heads up. And even the Dick Grayson fucking, or Warrior fucking Jason Todd, and even Damian, they're like, he knows we're not going to fucking leave, right? So that was cool. I loved it. But anyways, go ahead.
So Duke shows up, saves the day, but before they can... get away, the ground breaks up, and I believe it's Bane that comes from the ground and takes them both. So Bane has all the Batman friends dead to rights on some fucking rooftop.
Yeah.
And Batman's there. So now that's pretty much number six. These comics go really quick,
too. They really do, dude, yeah. Like, Tom King is that first arc.
The art,
I like,
the art
dude,
too.
The art's really good, dude. The art for this, I mean, we love Tom King. David Finch, his art... is really dope.
Yeah.
And Jordy Belair, we love fucking, you know, Jordy Belair's work, inker, colors, so it looks dope, dude.
Very good. Number 18, we have Bane. Deal is with Pirate is for everyone on the... He says, you give me the pirate, and I give you these guys.
Yep, your boys, your friends back.
And Batman's not having it.
No. Like,
no.
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 Straight up.
I like how these two are much alike in both having families killed in front of them.
Yes.
Like, the whole fucking issue is
I wrote down that the parallels in their lives, the way they're... They lost their parents, and granted, Bane lost just his mom, and Bruce lost both his parents. How Bruce was able to grow up kind of straight up privileged.
Privileged. Like, but one eats well-made foods, and fucking Bane's eating fish like an animal. Like,
I like the parallels, and even their mindset. Like, Batman, I'm sorry, not Batman, yet Bruce Wayne keeps telling himself throughout his days, like, I'm doing it for you, mother. But yet Bane's, like, lifting fucking...
I'm doing it for you, mother.
Yeah, so it, very cool.
Doing it for mother, just to be the greatest villain guy.
Pretty much, dude. Yeah. That.
So the parallel to this whole issue is probably one. This is going to be one of my top
books of the week, books of the year,
books of the year. I'm gonna say.
I would have to say so, dude. You know what? That would be up there.
However, Batman and Bane do have this in common. They are both set to avenge their mother's death.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
And this is what drives them to be the men they are today. Mm-hmm. Batman finds strength from his family, and Bane finds it from chemicals.
Yeah, yeah. And Grant Bane had to... Oh, Bane's upbringing, he didn't have an upbringing. It was full of fucking hate.
It was a lot of survival.
Yeah, more than anything, dude.
And do what needs to be done and kill everything.
Before you go into 19, go dude. But no, are you in
19? I got a little bit.
No, go for it. No, no, no.
So Batman isn't happy that and goes balls to the wall in... Bane, actually, goes to the balls to the wall beating the shit out of Batman. And he tells him he isn't one of these so-called villains to be fucked with. Yeah. And he goes through every villain. I'm not a fucking... Joker, I'm not a fucking penguin. And every time he does, he's just fucking punching him.
Batman's ass, legit.
And Batman has a plan, as always, and it's having Bane beat him up, giving Catwoman a chance to get everyone out.
And it looks like Batman's fighting back, but like pussy status.
But didn't he do this to him at his house?
At his own house.
So he did it again.
He played the same fucking role again, dude. Yeah. Wow. So that's why it pissed me off. Like, Batman, your contingency plan is to make yourself look like you're getting rocked.
He's Rocky.
Yeah, kind of.
So he gets tired, but Bane doesn't get tired.
Bane doesn't get tired, yeah. That's why I liked it. Dude, it was nice catching up for sure, dude. Yeah, I agree. So are you in 19 yet?
Yes.
Okay, before you go into 19, it was cool because you're right. As he's getting rocked. And rocked. Batman is getting legit his ass fucking kicked.
Bad.
The parallels between both of them, dude. And what's happening is fucking dope because they're both the way it's written, the way Tom King writes it, the way David Finch is putting the panels together. You see parallels of them as kids, them growing up, and they're both talking to themselves. But the parallel is, and they're finishing each other's sentences. That's why I love the structure of the title is. It's really cool because they both say, Batman's getting punched. Everyone can be brought down. And then fucking Bane hits him again. It's not hard. Him saying it. All it is a matter of will. Bruce saying it. And then he gets hit again. Who has a stronger will? Dosh, he gets hit again. Who will give in first? Dosh, him or me. And they're both thinking this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's both their mindsets. So really I like cool. it, dude. So that's a setup for your 19, dude.
The panel with Batman's face
jacked up.
No, they have Batman's face and they have Bane's face.
Oh, side by side. I like that. Yeah. And so literally parallel, and I loved it, dude. That was, you know what? That would could possibly book the year. Continue, man. I like it, dude.
So number 19, Bane's on his way. Well, he tells Bane that what he did. And so Bane's on his way to Arkham. And
give me the pirate. I need the pirate. So he's looking now again. Bane's plan was, I caught your friends. Nope. Catwoman helped them escape.
He said, fuck it. I'm just going to go in and take them.
I know where Psycho Pirate is. And it ends with him walking him to Arkham Asylum.
Yes. And he goes in and he's faced
number 19.
With a lot of every C villain, every B villain, and every A villain. Two-Face is there.
Yeah.
And
Killer
Croc? I like the love struggle between those two and Two-Face himself. They have helping Batman and bringing in Bane or let Bane... decide for them. Like, oh, should I help you? Yeah. And his other side, nah, fuck that guy. And he gets punched in the fucking stomach.
Even I like the opening panel is like it's a sea villain, but he's quoting Dante's Inferno.
Yes.
And I love it. Like, if nobody caught it, like, I'm a Dante's Inferno fan. The Divine Comedy is fucking great, dude. Dante Alighieri is just dope. So, abandon all faith, ye who enter here, type of deal. But he's spewing the whole...
And he steps aside.
Yeah. And like, Bane, Bane's this. Like, just... Bane's now, it's cool because... Go, actually, no, it's yours, man. Take it.
Yeah, yeah. So he just walks through all these villains.
Corridors, yeah. Hallway after hallway.
Punching through... And he's getting wrecked too. Bane's getting his ass kicked because he's going through every fucking cell. Because they open all the cells, and Alfred's like, "You fucking open all the cells? Well, yeah, bitch. You know,
I had no choice.
And so as he walks through the maze of villains, he takes them out one by one,
which is cool to see.
As they stand in front of him, like,
and even the interactions he has with,
Counter.
Everyone, dude, with Freeze is fucking dope.
Oh, even Freeze is like, I put so much ice in you, there's no
oof, way anyone puff. Can break out. Oh, fuck, now I'm fucked. Even the one with he hadn't met the Riddler yet by this point, right?
No, the
Crow, Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah.
When he walks into his cell, he's in his cell, and you just hear boom, 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 and he breaks in. And fucking, it's only Scarecrow, and Scarecrow's like, fuck. I'm going to die. He's like, I was saving this to break out, and he uses a fucking silver and poison. Sprays fucking Bane.
Does not work.
It's dope the way he talks to Bane, like, you feel it now.
Oh, you little bitch.
He's like, nightmares. That's what I do. He's like, what are your nightmares? I have no nightmares.
I am the nightmare.
I am Bane. Dope, dude. So you're right. He's getting his ass kicked. But yeah, continue, man.
He takes him out. He goes. He finally gets to the prison, the cell that they actually hold the Joker in.
Yeah.
And he grabs fucking the Riddler, and he says, "Okay, bitch, you got 30 seconds to open this fucking thing,
or I'll kill you.
I'll kill you, and I'll get the other guy." And the Riddler's cool, man. He's like, "Okay, fuck it, let's do it." And the pirate
he's even admiring the work of the lock.
Yes.
He's like, oh, this is interesting. Like, this is a futuristic fucking lock.
And he gets through it. He's awesome. And he finally gets through the pirate. The reason why I didn't know why he wanted the pirate until this issue, the pirate gave Bane
very cool peace, yes.
And he wants it back.
Okay, yes. So Bane gave up the venom. He gave up the drugs so he can live on in peace on his fucking island.
Yes.
And the psycho pirate, like you said, was the one helping him out, getting over the drugs, pretty much. Like, I just needed him to give me a synapse so I can not be a crazy psycho fuck anymore. Mm-hmm. You took that away from me, Batman. So, yeah, I venomed out, and that's why I want you. You took away my fucking peace. You made me go back to this bullshit that I didn't want to go
I wonder if they could have just made a deal, like, okay... Let me give the pirate just to kill her, and you'll give me the fucking pirate back.
Could have been, but is Bane to be trusted?
Well, I mean, Bane's at peace. He wasn't fucking around.
True that, but I mean, as soon as Batman got on the island, you saw how bad he had to fucking go through shit.
Yeah.
And the shit, his plan worked anyway.
Email Batman.
And again, yeah, exactly. Dude. So it was a great fucking issue, dude. Yeah, and even that whole, this whole arc, the whole I Am Bane arc. I'm fucking loving it. I think really this good. Whole I Am Bane arc is going to be arc of the year up there.
Was really good.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, man. You took away everything from me.
Were you going to record? Were you going to do that one too?
No. Oh. I don't have much time enough I can give reviews. All right. Make it real quick, dude. Let's do... Okay. Nightwing number 17. If we're going to go Batman, we got to talk Nightwing. Nightwing number 17. Nightwing Must Die Part 2. Tim Seeley is the writer. Javier Fernandez is the artist. Chris Sotomayor is the inker. It's dope. It starts off with Nightwing frustrated, and to a certain degree, Damian's frustrated as well, dude. So both needing to let some aggression out, they start sparring. And Dick's being more serious, and Damian's being more comical. And the way they spar is funny because it's like, man, you've learned some new moves, Damian. He's like, yeah, I have to. I have to get better every day, just like my dad. So really cool to see that, dude. But again, dude, it's more Damian being comical that he's threatened by Dick Grayson eventually taking over as Batman. But Dick tells him straight up, dude, after all these years of time working together, that's what you think of me? That I care about being Batman? My girlfriend is missing, and she might be pregnant. I'm not sure that I don't even want to be Nightwing.
Wow.
So prior arc, it's been a great arc, dude. Damien gives him an odd look like, fuck, dude, like, don't. Like, what the fuck does that mean? So it's really cool, dude, just if you catch that. He continues to tell him that he can't manage to juggle it all between running the Titans, protecting the city, being part of the Bat family. He's like, all I have to do is look at your dad. The one who I think suffers the most is you, his real son. So, I mean, it's the Bat family, but that Dick Grayson is always the heart of it, dude, mm-hmm. of the Bat family. Like, even other superheroes loves Dick Grayson because he is, Nightwing is the fucking man, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, you learn from the best, and you're his best student. Granted, Damian Wayne's got to be up there.
Yes.
So anyways, really cool, dude. So that's the way why he's really upset, dude. And so that's why Robin decided to go with him. But even as this goes down, we see how great they are working together, dude. So now back on the case, they follow coordinates to a place in France where Dick Grayson, Nightwing, realizes how personal this thing might be. And they're confronted by an old villain named Deathwing. So technically, this cat was a twisted alternate future version of Dick Grayson corrupted by a dark version of Raven. That means nothing to a lot of people, but that's pretty much who he is. Which makes the scrap more interesting because Nightwing without any restraint. So as great of a fighter that Dick Grayson is if he were ever to fucking unleash. And we've never seen fucking Nightwing. He's always cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like Peter Parker, Spider-Man, kind of where he cracks jokes when he's fighting, but we've never seen him just falls to the wall like, I'm going to fucking hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he doesn't kill either, though. So he's, I don't want to say pacifist. Anyways, it's really cool how this goes down. He starts scrapping with Deathwing. Deathwing knocks aside Damian Wayne, kind of locks him up in a fucking in a tomb. And so it's up to Nightwing to fight Deathwing, which again, his dupe of himself, kind of. He gets sliced, and it kind of gives him some hallucinogen, and it's weird because Nightwing is kind of tripping balls, and he sees future versions of himself, which is interesting to see, like, his time as Robin, his time as a Talon, like, it's different alternate versions. And when Damian finally breaks out of this fucking tomb, he comes out, and it's really cool what he fucking tells him. So even before that, dude, there's an alternate version of fucking Damian Wayne that pops up too. That's after Deathwing. So two side by side parallels kind of again. So Damian breaks out, and as Twisted Damian fights Twisted fucking Deathwing, fucking Nightwing's still tripping balls. And once he sees Damian, he's like, what's going on? He sees different versions, alternate realities of Damian. Damian as fucking Damian, son of Batman, when he takes the role, and we see fucking Damian as Robin when it was the Grant Morrison run, like All-Star Batman and Robin, like really cool fucking, like, holy shit, like, do these visions mean anything? Like, he's not, or is he getting glimpses of all the universes? Or so it was just really cool to see. This one was really cool, though. I loved it because what fucking Damian Wayne tells him as he's trying to snap fucking Dick Grayson, Nightwing out of it, he's like, remember who you are. Remember me. I'm Damian Wayne. I'm the Robin to your Batman. We were the greatest together, Grayson. He says, we were, but it's different now. You're gone. Find a new life. Considering having a child to replace me.
Oh.
I don't know what I will be alone. I need you here, Richard. So just seeing that, I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, they were fucking so good together. I fucking miss them together as Batman and Robin. So it's really cool, dude. I enjoyed that one. That's one of the books of the week. It's fucking worth picking up, dude. Last one's going to be Venom number 5. I'm going to go through this one really quick. Mike Costa is the writer. Gerardo Sandoval is the artist. Love his fucking work, dude. Lee Price starts off with a funny panel of Spider-Man talking about social media and where he learns about that. And Spider-Man's just eating his lunch, puts his mask up to his fucking mouth, starts eating the fucking food, and he's like, let's check out social media. Oh, fuck, Scorpion and Venom are scrubbing. He's like, fuck Venom. So he starts fucking spinning out. Upon learning this, of course, he has to intervene. So the first time he sees Venom in the suit, he's like, hey, Flash. He thinks it's Flash Thompson. Mm-hmm. Very cool, though, to see the symbiote react to him. And the symbiote talking is like, it's Spider-Man. We can't hurt him.
He's a fan.
Well, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And it's really cool because I've been saying this, and I love this fucking title because even the way it's written, they're giving the symbiote a heart. Like, it's a character, you know? And he has been rehabilitated now. because once he went on, you know, Flash Thompson.
When he went up to the fucking...
to space, to his own home world, they rehabilitated him, which is fucking nice. So now he doesn't want to kill, he doesn't want to hurt. So the interactions he has with Lee Price is dope, dude. But as Spidey saves people, it gives Venom a chance to escape. And Lee Price, Venom. He doesn't really escape, though, as he goes back to the scene of the crime to get information for the reporter, the previous issue, that they were after, where he learns of a double cross from Black Cat's right-hand man, which is a Scorpion. And actually another cat, dude, where he now needs to figure out a way to get rid of her to a lesser degree, to get her locked up. So her right-hand man was double-crossing him, or her, and he hired Scorpion, hence prior issue, why they're having this scrap right now. And it's really cool, dude. We get some good moments, great moments between Lee Price and the symbiote. And it's really cool how the symbiote is a character. Why are we doing this? I don't understand. People hurt you, Lee. I'm learning things about you. The panels we see about his army friends going down. And then it's cool how Lee Price responds back. Like, real power is staying hidden. Stay out of my memories or I'll lock you somewhere that'll really do damage. So that Lee Price is able to control it too, even though now the symbiote is a quote-unquote pacifist, or like, doesn't want to hurt, kill people. I don't want to eat your brains. Pretty much, dude. Now Lee comes up with a plan to hand over the FBI guy, or let him off the hook, where they can learn, I don't know. They had some FBI cats on their trail, and they wanted to give up, Lee Price to give up information about superheroes. Mm-hmm. He's like, dude, I don't fucking know anything about the superheroes. Tell us about Spider-Man. Dude, I don't know fucking anything. Little by little, though, I think it's going to come into play. So the FBI now so desperate now that the initial guys they set after them are not making any impact. It's like, oh, fuck. Venom's on the fucking loose. All right. What team do we have? Well, we used to have a symbiote team, but now they've been disbanded. All right. Well, there's only one guy working on that crew now because nobody wants to work with him. It's an anti-Venom fucking crew. We only have one guy on it. And every time he tries to train somebody, nobody wants to jump on board. Bring him in. He's like, I've been here the whole fucking time. Let me get to work. And the leader of the crew happens to be the guy who was going after Carnage prior and the first Venom, Eddie Brock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it ends right there. And I love it, dude. The way it's written. The art is fucking dope. Gorgeous. It's beautiful, guys. Worth fucking checking out, dude.
Eddie Brock.
Yeah. The original Venom. Yes. So to see interaction between Spider-Man, Venom, and a new Lee Price character that is the Venom now. And to see how the Venom symbiote interacts with each three is going to be cool, in my opinion. It's written dope. Again, art, gorgeous. One of the books of the week. Nightwing was book of the week. And yours was book of the week.
It was great. It was great week.
Also, Daredevil 18 was fucking book of the week. Super Sons number 2 was book of the week. I loved those. All right, man. That's all we got for time. We didn't want to go long, but it was a good flow on the fucking comic talk, dude. The Batman talk was fucking really good. For Scott Snyder, we said we wouldn't fucking really review much of his stuff because he was hitting it out of the park all the time. Tom King
is killing it.
Rocking and rolling, dude. I love it, dude. All right, man. Thanks for listening, guys. Share the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes again. Anywhere you guys can find podcasts, you guys can find my boy, Adam.
Mem the Beaner.
You guys can find me at ForTheVillain at Comic Syndicate 1 on Instagram, I think. I don't know. Just look for us, spot us, share the podcast, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace out.